The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hi, this is Deborah Jane Wells, life coach and Reiki master. Thanks for tuning into our show. Today's theme is finding meaning by feeding your senses of spirituality and belonging. Each week, we explore the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, how choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow, filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Your experience shifts from victim to victory, breakdown to breakthrough. As a life coach and Reiki master, I help people who are stuck in the hamster wheel approach to life, trapped by fear and the mistaken belief that busyness is the same as purpose. They can't stand the way they're living, but feel powerless to stop. As we work together, my clients discover what I discovered. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Choosing love as your core energy changes your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. You get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living, moving yourself forward into a life you love. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. This week, I continue to provide you an exclusive sneak preview of my upcoming book being released by Hay House Balboa Press this spring. During today's episode, we'll finish studying the sensory balance aspect of my discovery framework by exploring spirituality and belonging, the final two inner senses. We'll then review the core energy and sensory balance scans and finish today's show by taking a look at my tools for fostering flow. When we pick up the book again in 2 weeks, I'll cover your personal board of directors, the final building block from my discovery framework. A reminder that you may access large, full-color versions of the book illustrations, charts, and forms I reference when you sign up for my free Book Insider Club, accessible on the book tab of my coaching website at djwlifecoach.com. As a member of the club, you'll also receive periodic updates on publication progress, as well as exclusive sneak preview access to selected book content and special book purchase promotions, including the opportunity to buy the companion workbooks and other related resources to support you on your personal journey to wholeness. The inner sense of spirituality. I believe and trust. My life is a purpose-filled journey, not a destination. I am more than I appear to be. I repeat here a point I've made throughout this book. I provide specifics from my own life and experience. They serve as illustrations to inspire you to find your personal path to wholeness. My specifics are not prescriptions. Nowhere is that more true than when I share my thoughts on spirituality. To keep the writing simple and smooth, I will not preface every statement with the qualifier, I believe. I respect all spiritual paths that are based in love, whether they use the word God or not. I benefit from all of them. Because you've chosen to read my book, I assume you're interested in knowing my particular perspective. Here goes. Spirituality is about believing there is more to life than what we experience through our five outer senses, that there is more to everyone and everything than we are seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting in any given moment. Spirituality and religion are not necessarily the same thing. For some people, participation in a form of organized religion is part of how they demonstrate their spirituality. For others, it's not. If you are one of those who carry painful memories of abuse you received in the name of religion, I invite you to free yourself from that painful memory now. Recognize that any damage inflicted was fueled by the perpetrator's fear. Spirituality is about love and endless possibilities. It is not about fear or lack. Choose love, embrace the possibilities of spirituality, and release with love and light any past pain you received in the name of religion. Please don't keep re-injuring yourself and limiting your world by continuing to rehash past injustices. Many who have let go of their painful past relationship with religion have found their way home to a spiritual practice that better aligns with their definition of spirituality based in love. God is not a four-letter word. Though some advisors warned me that using that word or its synonyms in this book might limit the marketability of my message, I've opted for authenticity. Please don't get hung up on a specific label. There are many names for this force because it is beyond words. I use a variety of labels: God, Source, the Divine, Higher Power, Universe, Life Force, Creative Power, Spirit, and Divine Energy, to name a few. The reality of God is so large, it transcends the limitations of any name or description I could conceive of. Substitute whatever label resonates most powerfully for you. God is everywhere, within and without, always paying attention, always fully engaged with everyone and everything, and smart enough to know when whatever we're thinking or saying concerns him, her, it, them. Thankfully, God is not dependent on us getting the words just right. God already knows it all. We're the ones who are figuring it out. Because God transcends time and space, nothing can limit its power, including human constructs such as perceived barriers of language, belief, denomination, or spiritual institution. Though we sometimes elect to limit and separate ourselves through fear-based thinking, we are always one with everyone and everything, even when we choose not to remember or experience that great gift. The great spiritual teachers didn't come to earth as exceptions. They came as examples. They didn't come to say, "I'm it and you're not." They came to say, "I'm it and so are you." They came to show us a larger way of being, what's possible when we free ourselves from fear and claim our birthright of love, creativity, wisdom, and power. Because God is love, there is no fear or scarcity when I remember that I'm sourced in God. My source is excellent, limitless, and reliable. I know who I am and whose I am. In the appendix, you will find a selected list of spiritual elders who've touched my life profoundly in recent years. Prayer isn't about begging God to care enough about me to help me or do it my way. All of God's power and presence is available to all of us 24/7. A lack of interest on God's part is not the problem. Our fear-based limiting beliefs are the only blocks to living all of God's power and presence in each moment. Prayer and meditation are about being aware of when I have drifted off-center, remembering who I am and whose I am, realigning myself with the highest good, and recognizing where my chosen fear-based limiting beliefs are keeping me frightened, trapped, and small. It's about transforming that fear back into its source energy of limitless love, and then expanding my presence to encompass all that's possible when I'm centered in that love. Mindfulness and meditation are important elements in keeping myself centered and aligned with source energy. Paying attention and breathing. Any activity or lack of activity is meditative and restorative when I set an intention that it be so. Singing, walking, washing dishes, scooping cat litter, or doing absolutely nothing. While I sometimes engage in structured formal forms, meditation doesn't have to last for hours and involve uncomfortable postures to have a constructive effect. It just needs to happen early and often. The appendix contains a lengthier discussion of my thoughts on meditation, including one of my favorite formal practices, written meditation, more commonly referred to as journaling. It also contains a piece entitled We Are One, which outlines a simplified form of Tonglen meditation. While as a Reiki master teacher, I sometimes offer Reiki meditation sessions and programs that train and attune others in the practice of Reiki, my particular approach to living as a master is referred to as walking the Reiki path. In that eclectic, intuitive, trans-denominational sacred space, everything I think, say, and do helps reveal and advance the highest good for all. For me, the magic is not in the tradition or symbols. The ability to facilitate physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual healing resides within each of us from birth. Invoking the Reiki symbols reminds us of the full range of God-given abilities that dwells within each of us 24/7. Love, power, equanimity, healing, oneness, wisdom, manifestation, transcendence, and peace. When we are free of all fear and aligned with love as our source, our very presence raises the constructive energy of every being and situation we encounter. The appendix includes the script of my personal affirmations-based daily Reiki practice with which I begin each day. In December 2010, after much reflection and meditation, I chose to become an ordained minister. As a spiritual celebrant, I am licensed to officiate at civil and trans-denominational spiritual services of all types. It is my particular honor to preside over celebrations of major life milestones and transitions. Serving in this way is a natural complement to the partner, teacher, and guide roles I already embody as a life coach and Reiki master. I was sent to be the unique Deborah Jane Wells co-creative expression of divine energy. I'm not here to be an imitation of someone else. I'm not here to fix you or turn you into an imitation of me. In the inimitable words of Oscar Wilde, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. This way of living is the antithesis of the kind of selfishness many of us were warned against in our youth. When each person focuses on aligning herself with love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, then the world will exist in a state of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy for all. While that may be my personal vision and mission, I also know it is very possible. I know it because, as a life coach and Reiki master, I get to experience firsthand every day the dramatic transformation that unconditional love manifests in the lives of individuals who are becoming their own unique co-creative expressions of divine energy. When love transforms your relationship with itself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. I know it, I see it, I live it. When I remember who I am and whose I am and focus my attention and intention on who I am being, what I think, feel, say, and do naturally aligns with the highest good. When I don't, it doesn't. Before birth in human form, when we existed as pure spirit, we knew this. Part of deciding to take human form involved agreeing to forget this truth for a time so that we could experience remembering it again as we made our journey back to the wholeness from whence we came. All of the wisdom and courage we seek is embedded deep within our divine essence. Every time we choose fear rather than love, we strengthen the barrier between what we know at our core and how we are choosing to show up. Years of fear-based living can produce a seemingly insurmountable impediment to accessing our truth. You may be skeptical. If she believes all of this, how did she end up morbidly obese with a decade of severe clinical depression? The short answer is that when I forgot what I knew, it took me a while to remember. Otherwise, smart people are sometimes slow to embrace emotional and spiritual truths. I'm living proof that academic excellence, combined with considerable drive, intellect, and creative gifts, does not automatically produce wisdom. In fact, I believe all that ability and accomplishment may have proven one of my greatest barriers. While I always believed that my gifts were divinely sourced, and I had a robust spiritual practice for many years of my life, I still thought I was making it all happen. And, most destructive of all, that my worthiness was based on the quality of my productivity and performance. When I finally encountered an external standard that I couldn't figure out and couldn't meet, no matter how hard I tried, it nearly destroyed me. Being an overachiever, I tried overdoing a variety of things in a vain attempt to numb myself from the pain and distract myself a while longer from finding the truth, that each of us are divinely sourced in love and therefore utterly and completely worthy in every moment, no matter what we believe or how we're performing. Many of the world's great spiritual traditions share this same essential truth in a variety of ways. The kingdom of heaven is within. I overworked, no vacations for years at a time. I overdid shopping, eating, drinking, and talking. I proved especially adept at over-collecting all manner of objects, my most impressive being a collection of over 2,000 Barbie dolls complete with 20 different fully outfitted doll dwellings. That particular example was a failed attempt to recapture joy by re-engaging in a joy-filled aspect of my childhood, because I needed to find some joy. I needed it desperately. By the time I donated my beloved Barbies and all of my other collections to charities for auctions, I was hanging on to life by the skin of my teeth. My major challenge each day was to find a reason to go on living. Sometimes when we get stuck in habit, ego, or despair, we need to be worn down and broken open to get it. Fortunately, the universe is more wise, creative, persistent, and loyal than I am, even on my best day. When I didn't rediscover my truth via the first 1 million transmissions, the universe did not give up on me. It just upped its game and kept right on transmitting until I was finally ready to listen, remember, and respond with clarity concerning why I am here and how I choose to live. Included in the appendix is my own personal statement of intentions. May it inspire you to become clear and intentional about your own precious life. We'll stop there for now, take a quick break, and be back in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the current offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the current offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com.
Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Continue our sneak peek at my upcoming book being released by Hay House Balboa Press this spring by returning to an exploration of balancing your inner sense of belonging, the third of five building blocks for my discovery framework. Belonging. I connect and communicate. I enjoy meaning-filled relationships with myself and others. I know and am known. Healthy boundaries are not about separation. They're about creating an environment that fosters constructive core energy. The greatest gift we give others is not choosing to love them. It's having the generosity and courage to allow them to love us constructively. If at this point in our exploration, you're hoping for a big dose of holding hands and singing We Are the World, you're in for a disappointment. Relationships are not for the naive or faint of heart. There's a reason I cover this inner sense last. Relationships are the doctoral program of life lessons. Just when we think we're starting to get the hang of living from unconditional self-love, the universe raises the bar and sends us relationships. As challenging as you may have found this path so far, self-love is by comparison relatively easy to accomplish in isolation. It's much trickier in community with others. Relationships offer the opportunity to recognize and transform any and all vestiges of unexamined fear within ourselves, thereby becoming even clearer channels for love and light at all times and in all situations. They are, in the words of George Friedrich Handel's Messiah, the refiner's fire. The best intimate relationships are loving mirrors. The old adage of opposites attracting is based in part on the idea that we seek in our companions a way to complete the parts of ourselves that are undeveloped or unappreciated. Now there's a formula for friction. You can choose to walk around feeling annoyed and put upon most of the time, or, like the oyster, choose to embrace the irritant and set your intention to create a pearl. It's up to you. You are the decider. What will you do with your precious gift of life? How might you find greater joy in your relationships if you weren't so attached to tolerating them with resentment? Kick all thoughts of fixing others to the curb. Even if they let you do it, it's not kind. It robs them of their personal power and opportunity for personal growth. By forcing a situation on them that they may not be ready for, we expose them to a sense of failure and cheat them of the opportunity for authentic, organic growth that could have unfolded in its perfect time and empowered them. As with the man who thought he was making it easier for the struggling butterfly by cutting it out of the cocoon, it doesn't matter what you think your motivations are, the butterfly is still dead, and you're the one holding the scissors. It's neither respectful nor realistic. You can't make anyone change. Substantive, lasting change always comes from within. Share ideas and possibilities freely, then completely detach from the outcome. When you find it hard to do so, your real opportunity isn't to fix the other person's life. It's to figure out what feeling you believe you'll have that you won't let yourself have now, once they get in alignment with your plan. Next, get curious about what fear is blocking you from allowing yourself to feel that feeling just as things are. Finally, determine what truth and love-based reality you could substitute for your chosen fear-based lie and illusion to produce the desired feeling for yourself right now without anyone else having to change anything else. If you're really interested in changing someone's life for the better, focus on the only life for which you've been given both the responsibility and ability, your own. In the process, you'll find that moods can be contagious. Your greater joy and fulfillment will improve the experience and opportunities of everyone and everything you encounter. What kind of a companion are you, and what type of people do you spend most of your time with? Honest, optimistic, encouraging people committed to mutual growth? companions who share deep, meaning-filled relationships, people who lift each other up and help raise each other's energetic frequencies when they are low, or wet blankets, devil's advocates, and downers. Take great care in choosing your closest relationships. While we may have great love, respect, and compassion for others who are choosing to fuel themselves with fear, it is not necessarily optimal to expose ourselves to a constant diet of such companions. Yes, mindfulness can help you keep yourself clear, but a constant need to be on alert for attitude and mood contagion is exhausting. While challenging relationships can be a great learning opportunity, they are debilitating on a regular basis. Even the strongest among us needs a break now and then. Pay attention to what you are feeding your sense of belonging. One of the reasons we get stuck in codependent, mutually destructive relationships is that we're resisting appropriate allocation of responsibility. When we choose to remain attached to the energy of regret and resentment, we entrap ourselves in a shame and blame web of our own making, unable to break free into self-responsibility and healthy detachment. Learning to bring to bear unconditional love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces the shift from a disempowering core energy of fear, reeking of I don't matter and I am powerless, to an empowering core energy of love, emanating I matter and I am powerful. Relationships have been the greatest teachers in my life. While often they didn't feel helpful at the time, with hindsight I can see that they provided the sacred space in which I received my most difficult lessons about the true meaning of healthy boundaries. They were the classroom in which I learned not only how to establish constructive limits for myself, but more importantly and even more challenging, how to recognize when my desire to help was not fueled by core energy of love, but by fear in the form of anxiety, self-doubt, avoidance, or arrogance. Across a variety of roles and venues, daughter, sister, parent, wife, mother, boss, subordinate, coach, friend, I had to be taught these lessons about respecting my own and others' boundaries again and again before I began to see the light. These same advanced classes are the ones to which the universe continues to invite me each day. Don't set your intention to develop more patience or better boundaries unless you are prepared to embrace the inevitable upheaval. We only become better at anything with practice. Practicing patience and boundaries requires doing so in difficult situations. It's the only way to get good at it. I'll share a few personal examples to illustrate. In the introduction to the Discovery Framework, I mentioned a couple of belonging-related hiccups I encountered on my way to writing this section of the book. These situations provided the latest in a series of ongoing, moment-by-moment opportunities to deepen my own ability to live the framework, clarify my boundaries, and strengthen my commitment to my calling. They included, number one, two of my beloved cats being diagnosed with illnesses. Number two, my husband undergoing two surgeries in 1 month with two more to come. And number three, a rift in a long-term friendship. So how did I fare? I remained on an even keel in handling the two catastrophes, demonstrating real progress in my ability to be here now when it comes to my loved ones being in perceived pain or danger. I didn't even consider my past practice of spinning death horror stories in my head that would only serve to freak me out and block me from accessing my deepest wisdom. I embraced my responsibility for my cat's diagnosis and care and continued chipping away at sculpting the framework chapters. I remembered that all relationships are set to us for a season and a reason. I practiced being here now, appreciating every moment life gives me with the furry family members I adore. I also did fairly well with my husband's surgeries, trying to be supportive, love, without being intrusive, fear. I freely admit to a few times when I stuck my nose in and pushed my approach over his, disrespect. The good news is that I noticed my slips quickly, curiosity, didn't beat myself, love, respect, and compassion, apologized voluntarily, love and respect, and shifted my focus back to writing the framework chapters, trusting Wilson to manage his own health care. The rift in the friendship proved the greatest challenge of the three for me. I did a bit of obsessing, which distracted and blocked me from writing and other happy endeavors, but I also handled it, especially the fear, much more constructively than I have such situations in the past. I applied curiosity instead of judging in assessing what my friend and I each contributed to the rift. Over a period of months, I made multiple attempts to repair it. When it became clear to me that reconciliation was not in the cards, I released all of it with love and light and firmly but lovingly closed the door. For me to have pushed the situation any further at the time would not have been loving, respectful, or compassionate to either of us. With deep disappointments, this release process is often iterative. When the pain of such experiences resurfaces periodically, I try to resist distracting myself with eating to excess, shopping until I drop, or working harder and longer. I set my intention to embrace my feelings with curiosity and identify the opportunity for even deeper healing within me. Sometimes there's an aspect for which I bear responsibility that I've not fully accepted. Other times, there's an element of my friend's responsibility that I'm still trying to carry. I focus my energy on embracing my own lessons and completely detaching from my friend's lessons because, frankly, they're none of my business. I have enough on my own plate at all times to keep me constructively occupied. I remind myself that we each did the best we could with the wisdom we gave ourselves access to at the time. I foster genuine gratitude for the growth our relationship has offered me, and I release both of us into the loving arms of the universe to move forward on our individual paths. I'm genuinely grateful for the advanced class in boundary setting and the opportunity to share it here, yet another silver lining. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, "There is a right time to everything on earth." The Tao rules of engagement for right relationship express this principle as, when you come, we welcome you. When you stay, we do not hold on to you. When you leave, we do not pursue you. If the universe feels my friend and I still have unfinished business, it will reopen the door when the time is right. If not, the time may have come for us to move on permanently, because we are meant to learn our remaining life lessons through other situations and relationships. One way or another, we're going to keep being offered the lessons until we learn them. The longer it takes, the tougher the lessons get. As we say in the practice of Reiki, may I learn my lessons quickly and gently and help others do so as well. Having completed discussing the inner senses, I'd like to go back and share the core energy scan that we didn't have time to include the week we discussed the construct of core energy. Now that you have greater understanding for the roles of love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, and how they foster constructive energy and manifest a life of flow, you are better equipped to notice when any one of the big five would benefit from recalibration and what form that might take. The scan consists of a simple five-step process, with each step grounded in caring enough about yourself to, 1, pay attention so that you notice quickly whenever fear creeps into your energetic mix, 2, invest your energy in assessing the root cause of the fear, 3, determine what baby steps will strengthen the presence of love in your reality, 4, hold yourself accountable for following through on your commitment to take action. And 5, assess your results and continuously refine and expand your action plan to maximize the presence of love and minimize the presence of fear in the core energy with which you fuel your life. At this point in the book, I include an illustration of a simple form to guide your core energy scanning process. You're worth the effort. With practice, you will turn unconditional self-love into a healthy new habit that becomes a way of life. When love takes over your core energy, you will begin building the less stressful, more fulfilling life you dream of. We'll stop there for now, take a quick break, and we'll be back in another 2 minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature birth. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs. These programs, such as Centering Pregnancy, help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Welcome back to our show once again. We continue our sneak peek at my upcoming book being released by Hay House Balboa Press this spring by returning to an exploration of the sensory balance scan and the tools for fostering flow, the fifth building block from my discovery framework. Having talked about the core energy scan, I'd like to share a second scan with you, the sensory balance scan. Now that you have greater insight into the importance of feeding all of your nine senses in balanced ways, you are better equipped to notice when any one of them would benefit from recalibration and what form that might take. While it's possible to gorge or starve any of our senses, because sacrificing food quality while overdoing food quantity is a nearly universal experience, I'll use it here to illustrate the spirit of my approach. One of the great benefits of embracing rather than ignoring or denying my habit of using food to fill unfood needs is that I now have an incredibly reliable barometer for when something is out of alignment within me. My agreement with myself regarding eating is that I always pay attention to the quality and quantity of what I'm ingesting. If I find myself overeating, even healthy fare, when I know I shouldn't be physically hungry, my promise is that I always respect myself enough to be honest about what's really going on. I stop and run a quick scan to see if I can determine what may be troubling me or where my life has gotten out of whack. What sense, other than taste, might I be starving that I'm trying to compensate for by overeating? I also look for any evidence of the nutritional equivalent of plopping my child in front of the TV to avoid giving her my undivided attention. What strong emotion might I be avoiding by distracting, titillating, and lethargizing myself with excess food of poor quality? Whether you're overeating, overworking, or overshopping, the essence of the sensory balance scan is this. I love myself enough to pay attention. I respect myself enough to be honest about what's really going on. I am curious about whether what I'm doing will really help or, in fact, just injure me further. I have compassion for whatever I find and a commitment to be more supportive. I am grateful for the deeper insights and additional opportunities for growth. At this point in the book, I include an illustration of a simple form to guide the scanning process. As with the core energy scan, the sensory balance scan consists of 5 simple steps, with each step grounded in caring enough about yourself to 1. Pay attention so that you notice quickly whenever you've drifted into a state of sensory imbalance due to starving and/or gorging one or more of your 9 senses. Realize that gorging one or more of your senses is likely to indicate starving one or more, and vice versa. 2. Invest your energy in assessing the root cause of the imbalance, paying special attention to any fear underneath what you are thinking, feeling, saying, and doing. 3. Determine what baby steps will strengthen the presence of love in your reality and restore balance to the way you are feeding your senses, quality, quantity, and frequency. 4. Hold yourself accountable for following through on your commitment to take action. And 5. Assess your results and continuously refine and expand your action plan to maximize the presence of love and minimize the presence of fear, thereby restoring harmony and encouraging sensory balance. Having gotten honest with myself, if the results of the scan indicate there is something significant to explore, but I don't yet feel able to go deeper, I demonstrate respect and compassion by not forcing myself. If I still feel that distracting myself with food is the best I can do with the love and light I have at the time, then I may go ahead and eat 5 pounds of raw vegetables. But I will have planted the seed and taken an additional step in recognizing unresolved fear inside me, moving myself forward on my personal journey to wholeness. For more insights into creativity and sensory balance, read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. I'll close today's show by reading Chapter 7, the 5th building block from my discovery framework. Making It Happen, Tools for Fostering Flow. If you are like many, right now you may be saying, the framework is elegant and intriguing, but a bit complex. In practice, how do I apply the principles consistently enough to turn this way of living into a healthy new habit? That's precisely where my tools for fostering flow come into play. At this point in the book, I include an illustration showing how the tools fit into my discovery framework. This set of simple, personalized practices helps you realize the essential shift from believing these principles in your head to living them from your heart. Making these tools a way of life helps you stay centered in flow. And when you drift off center occasionally, as any of us can do when overwhelmed by stress and gripped by ancient self-destructive scripts, these tools are the key to recognizing it quickly and getting back on track easily. You've already encountered many such tools in the previous chapters. As I read them to you now, relax, breathe, and set your intention to absorb and embrace their power. If you are not operating heavy machinery and you are comfortable doing so, you may find that closing your eyes further enhances your concentration. I'm going to read more slowly so you have time to begin comprehending and absorbing their power. Here, for easy access, are 14 of my favorite tools for fostering flow. Number 1, pay attention. If you don't recognize you're feeling stressed, you can't change it. Practice mindfulness by noticing what you're feeling and figuring out why. 2, breathe. Next time things start getting a little crazy, stop. Take 3 deep breaths. Become fully present. Restore sanity and realize you have options. Your brain needs oxygen to function effectively. Try setting a timer on your phone or computer to remind you periodically to stop, close your eyes for a minute, and just breathe. 3. Be here now. Forget rehashing the past and agonizing over the future. This moment is your only real opportunity to make a difference. Just you, just here, just now, just be. 4. Opportunity knocks. When life won't always follow your plans and expectations, everything in life is an opportunity. An opportunity to understand yourself better and open your heart wider, to develop greater compassion for yourself and others. While the details of our lives differ, we all experience the same range of emotions, from fear, frustration, and loneliness, to joy, contentment, and peace. With yourself firmly planted in this present moment, it's your ability to respond creatively and constructively that makes the difference. 5. Get curious. If everything's an opportunity, where might the opportunity be in this situation? The universe is far more creative than we can imagine. So assume the best and look for the silver lining in even the darkest cloud. 6. Talk to yourself. It's the smartest crazy thing you'll ever do. It improves your sense of perspective, creativity, and humor. You might discover that what you were dreading isn't likely to happen or will be much easier than you feared. With a little imagination, it might even be a great opportunity. 7. Write it down. Getting stressful thoughts out of your head and onto paper can also improve your sense of perspective. Often, just putting them in writing reduces them to a more manageable size. 8. Move it. When in doubt, move about. A gentle walk around the room, the block, or the gym will begin releasing natural tranquilizers and restoring full breathing. It feeds your creativity, so you'll be able to come up with more resourceful options for handling your situation. 9. Hydrate. Water fosters flow and sustains life. It composes up to 60% of the average human body and covers 70% of the Earth's surface. Drink, shower, bathe, swim, cry. Hydrate yourself in every way imaginable and watch yourself flow through the ups and downs of life with greater flexibility, creativity, and perspective. 10. Trust your gut. You have inside you all the wisdom you seek. Instead of stressing yourself out by fighting your instincts or feeling compelled to justify your hunches with logic, try trusting your intuition instead. 11. Behave as if. There are two aspects to this one. If you gave yourself the same care and attention you give your friends and loved ones, what support would you give yourself right now? And what would you dare to do if you believed you couldn't fail? 12. Take baby steps. Slow and steady produces meaningful, lasting results. Vast, forced output is rarely sustained. Great strides of lasting value involve myriad baby steps over time. If the conceivers of the Taj Mahal had believed fast was the only way to get there, it would have crumbled in the first storm. Your dreams are the same. Don't try to take them all on at once. Identify the next small step and take it, then another and another and another. Before you know it, you'll have built your dream and it will last you your whole life through. 13. Celebrate. Every step forward is a cause for celebration. Every time you move closer to your dreams, pat yourself on the back with a party moment. Ta-da! A steady stream of self-affirmation moments will continue releasing additional positive fuel to keep you moving forward. And 14. Time for what matters. Time is not a scarce resource. You have all the time you need for the things that matter. Your sole responsibility in each moment is to discern what matters most right now, to focus and to follow through. Using the other tools will help clear the way to access your deepest wisdom and move forward in each moment with confidence, peace, and joy. That brings us to the end of Chapter 7 on the tools for fostering flow. In 2 weeks, I'll share the fourth and final building block of the Discovery Framework, Achieving Equanimity with Your Personal Board of Directors. At this point, you're probably saying, so far the principles sound great in theory, but you've neglected to take into account the oppressive power of the nasty voice in my head. Every time I start to break free from thoughts of self-imposed limitation and lack, that voice puts me back in my place by reminding me that I'm not good enough and never will be. Good news, help is on the way. Your personal board of directors, Sage, Guardian, and Muse, is a 24/7 team of experts who can help make giving in to that voice a thing of the past. When your board members collaborate respectfully, they leverage their vast collection of competencies, seamlessly drawing on your constructive core energy and feeding all of your senses in a balanced way. When fueled by love, your board members are capable of synthesizing their diverse strengths and talents into a whole that is much greater than the sum of its parts. This is Deborah Jane Wells, signing off for now. Tune in again next week when I'll be joined by Tambor Lane from the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching for an episode entitled Creating a Life of Well-Being. Learn how you too can join the 7th level well-being revolution. Many thanks to my incredible Voice America production team, including my engineer, Roland Maldonado, executive producer, Randall Libero, and everyone else at Voice America who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you visit my voiceamerica.com host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to subscribe to my blog, social media feeds, and special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. You can even listen to recordings of past episodes. If you'd like to learn more about the transformative power of life coaching and the 60-minute complimentary coaching sessions I offer, listen to the recording of my very first episode on January 9, 2013, starting at the 37-minute mark, for an insightful overview. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.